Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Jay Armalee inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
Things are already pretty light, but I'm going to tell a few jokes because I'm not going to be here for Mother's Day, unfortunately. But I thought because I'm not here, I got to share a few Mother's Day funnies. So motherhood is a fairy tale in reverse. You start in a beautiful gown and end up cleaning everyone's messes. Somewhat true. Nothing is truly lost until mom can't find it. How many moms in here would say that's pretty true? Yeah. I told my mom I thought parenting got easier as the kids got older, and she laughed so hard she started to cry. That's true. It doesn't really get easier. Anybody have tweens in here? Those teenage, almost teenagers? Any tweens? Anybody? Okay, we got, all right. This would never be Laura, though. Come on. So my tween is mad at me. It could be because of any of the horrible things I did this morning. Stood in the kitchen, poured coffee, stared out the window, said good morning, breathed. A lot of changing hormones at that age. Kids make a lot of plans for people who can't drive. That is so true. How many Etsy fans here that do sell things on Etsy? That's where you make something and sell it. So if you don't know, that's what that is. She said, that's it. I'm selling my kid on eBay. And her friend said, don't be silly. You should sell him on Etsy. You made him. This is my favorite. When your teenager asks for personal space and you remind them you came out of my personal space. I'm sorry, I had to shit out. That was good. I'm not actually going to preach after that. No, joking. This is my second favorite. I asked to switch seats on a plane because I was next to a crying baby. Evidently, that doesn't work if it's your baby. Just a couple more. Two amounts of pasta I'm best cooking. One, not enough. Two, enough for 3,000. Anybody ever have that problem? It's like one or the other, never enough. Last one. I love it when I find myself screaming, stop screaming at my kids. That's how I teach them irony. Very true. Oh, well, it's good to laugh, isn't it? I never really planned on how to get into my message after that, so it was good to laugh. I want to share for a few minutes today. It's 11 o'clock. Of course, we came through a challenging week. It's been a challenging couple weeks. And I really thought I had another message for today. I did actually have another message today, but I woke up in the middle of the night. I already had some just thoughts, and then I woke up in the middle of the night with a scripture on my heart, and I thought, okay, I need to go here. So I'm going here. I'll do that other message another time. You know, I talked a while back, probably a couple years ago now, about this idea of tension, that there's always tension in the kingdom, right? If you don't remember that, you can go back, watch the series. But if you think of tension, it's that idea of a suspension bridge, and the tension is actually the tension that holds up the bridge. And I think in some ways, the kingdom is held up by tension. And if you get, we actually have the fivefold ministry in our midst. If you get all of us in a room and you ask us how things can go or should go, often you're going to hear a very different thought based on the office or mantle that they carry. So for instance, if you have a teacher in the room, the teacher has that idea that everything needs to be taught all the time, line upon line, you know, it's just got to be a certain way, and they really want to make sure it's taught, and we got to use the Hebrew and Greek, and I'm thankful all of our preachers in here will do that. But that's really what's big on their heart. If you ask a pastor in the room how things should be, well, man, we're going to tell you that we need to make sure we have groups, we are taking care of the sheep, that, you know, we just go into the whole pastoral side of things, and the teacher's like, well, make sure we have time to teach. And then if you have the evangelist in there, the evangelist is already getting, you know, they're already moving because they're like, are we going to really spend this much time in the church? Right? Why are we not spending more time outside of the church? Because they want to see people get saved, and that's fantastic. And then you got the prophets. Like, people really need to learn how to prophesy. People need to you know, I need to have time to prophesy in the church. Then you got the apostle that's thinking, yeah, but we got to make sure all this, you know, I got the big picture in my brain and we want to make sure that we're raising people up. My point is all this tension can sit there. Another point of tension Pastor Rod would know well is that, because he takes care of him and Karen of the children's ministry, you can see tension come when I think it's okay to go really long in a service and the kids workers are like, no, it shouldn't. Because they're taking care of the kids. There's just tension. And I was thinking about that tension that exists over the last 2 weeks of what we just went through. There's tension in what we just went through, isn't there? And so I want to let you know up front, I'm going to give you a disclaimer. So you know how sometimes you try to cipher the message through what you think I think, or maybe what you think I don't think now? I'm going to give you the disclaimer, okay? Jesus heals. The kingdom is here now. Did he come and say the kingdom is at hand? Right. Yes, he did. Absolutely. So the kingdom is at hand. Jesus heals. Jesus saves. Jesus is our redeemer. Okay, you need to understand this message through that lens. But I am going to share a little bit. You might be like, is it both? Like, what's going on? So bear with me, all right? You good with that? All right. Let me start with this. This is true. I better read it verbatim because this is absolutely true. I read this today and I was pretty surprised. And there are several of these, not a lot, but several. Oh, where'd it go? Jean Calment. None of you have ever heard of her. I'd be surprised. She died in 1997. She died at the age of 122. It's pretty incredible, 122. She was a big fan of spicy foods right until the end. She ate 2 pounds of chocolate per week and followed her lunch every day with a cigarette and a glass of port. Pretty crazy, lived to 122. Yeah, don't write that down because that's the point. How many know that that is an anomaly? Because if you look through, they can show you time and time again that smoking and overdrinking leads to major health issues and often death. You can see it. The studies are like, there's not even a question about that. So how many know that you would never want to take that one thing and go, well, let's make a theory out of that. It's an anomaly. Just like this. This is another one. True. Gentleman who lived like the epitome of health. He exercised every day, ate properly every day. He just was the epitome of health. No sugar, nothing. And he would do bike rides. And on his bike ride, one day got hit by a car and died. It's tragic. But you never want to make a theory out of that as well, would you? Like if you're a healthy person, you're going to get hit by a car? No, you would never do that. So I'm using that to go, we always have to go, let's not make theories out of things that we don't fully understand. Amen. We're going to do a lot of Bible today, so I'd like you to open up to, we're going to start with John 1. Get your phones out if you got the Bible app, or if you have a Bible, you should all have the Bible app. Bible Hub, I don't know what they call it, there's a bunch of them now, Blue Letter Bible, the Real Bible Bible, Pages, they turn. Turn to John 1. I think we stand, as you're looking at John 1, we're going to start at 29 in a second. I think we stand at a really pivotal time because the enemy would love for us to come in. I felt it in my thoughts. I felt the challenge of thinking through what has happened with Zach. How many else, you know, you at least pondered for a little bit of confusion. Come on, anybody? If you didn't, then you should have because it's normal and natural to go, okay, Lord, help me understand. You know, I did that when Benny Johnson passed away. I did that when the young girl that Bethel that had, she passed away and they prayed for resurrection for her. You know, there's a lot of these things. And I think if we just don't think and just put it aside, that's dangerous. We should think through, how does this work? And in the end, most of the time, we'll still come back to the same place and go, I'm not fully sure, I understand. But it's good to contemplate. And it's good that we have answers for people. And the answer really could be, I don't understand. It's a mystery, but I know God still heals. I want to always come back that we know God still heals. We have enough knowing that God still heals because we've witnessed it. We've seen it. We've prayed for it. Has anybody here seen God heal? Raise your hand. We see it. We know it. Has anybody here prayed for something and it didn't happen? Raise your hand. Welcome to the kingdom. But the story I'm going to read is a warning for us because Jesus actually spoke this to someone and we need to take note of it. John 1 verse 29 says, the next day, I'm reading out of the NLT if you want to switch to that or whatever your Bible is. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and he said, this is John the Baptist. He said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one I was talking about when I said, a man is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me. Now, is everybody pretty clear that John is pretty clear? Like he's not, hey, look, I think this could be the guy. I'm wondering maybe if this is the Messiah. I'm like, he kind of looks maybe like the Messiah. And it goes on. Look at, he says, I did not recognize him as the Messiah, but I have been baptizing with water so that he might be revealed to Israel. Then John testified. This is it. I saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove from heaven and resting upon him. I did not know he was the one, but when God sent me to baptize with water, he told me, the one whom you see the Spirit descend and rest is the one who will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. I saw this happen to Jesus, so I testify that he is the chosen one of God. Did you follow all that? It's pretty simple. John obviously got, John the Baptist was prophetic. He got the instructions from God to go and baptize until the Messiah comes. He was baptizing. He said, I didn't know who it would be, but when that person came, I had a promise that when I baptized him, the Holy Spirit would fall upon him. And when the Holy Spirit fell upon him, I would know that is the chosen one. Now, John was baptizing a lot of people. Like he was out there and baptized. I can imagine everyone, he kind of, you know, waited for that moment. It is interesting that he declared as he came, so he had an inkling, this is gonna be the one. And he waited for that representation of the Holy Spirit to come down. He's like, no, this is the one. This is the chosen one. This is the chosen one. So in my mind, John's like, I know that this is it. This is God. This is the Messiah. Okay? Turn with me to Luke 4. Krista, can you move my water? Turn with me to Luke 4. We're going to go through this story through different chapters. Verse 16. Luke 4, verse 16. We read a little bit of last week. It says, when he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue of the Sabbath and stood up to read the scriptures. This is the famous moment where Jesus walks in. This is not uncommon, this moment. This is, you know, they are given the opportunity to read scripture. So they give him a scripture, and he happens to, the scripture of the day is the very scripture that he's about to read and declare. So the scroll of Isaiah, the prophet, was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where this was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. He rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. All eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently, and then he began to speak to them. The scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day. That's a whole story where it starts his ministry, and that was, again, the Chosen did a beautiful job of that moment that must have been like, who do you think you are, right? But look what he says. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the captives, that he is to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and the time of the Lord's favor has come. The other thing I always remember that I did not know until recently, I never put two and two together, but in Isaiah, it says the day of vengeance of our Lord, and he totally skips that line because it was not that day. It was the day of favor at that moment. Everybody come into the kingdom, okay? So what do we have? We have now a story of John the Baptist that is convinced that this is the Messiah. We have Jesus getting up there saying, I am the Messiah, and this is what I've come to do. And one of the things that he says is, I have come to set the captives free. Okay? Maybe you know where I'm going. Luke 3, 19 to 20. Don't turn there, just listen. John the Baptist also publicly criticized Herod Antipas, the ruler of Galilee, for marrying Herodias, his brother's wife, and for many other wrongs he had done. So Herod put John in prison, adding this sin to his many others. So now we've got John the Baptist, who said this is the Messiah, who criticizes Herod, and because of that criticism, and I would argue whether that was supposed to happen or not, but that's another story in itself, he gets thrown in prison. He's now in prison. But John is thankful because he knows the Messiah who came to set the captives free. This is what he has to be thinking. I'm going to prove it to you in a minute, but he has got to be thinking, I am so thankful that my cousin is the Messiah. What luck do I have that I'm related to him? And if I'm related to him, surely he's going to come and set the captive, not the captives, the captive free. Because that's what Jesus said he was here to do. He was here to set the captives free. Most of the story is going to be told just by reading the scripture. Luke 7, verse 18. We'll start there. Luke 7, verse 18. If you're there, just say, I'm there. Awesome. You know, when you have the Bible app, it takes away whether you really know where books are in the Bible. It gets harder to do those Bible drills and, you know, so. Luke 7, verse 18 starts with, the disciples of John the Baptist told John about everything Jesus was doing. So John called for two of his disciples and he sent them to the Lord to ask, look at change of story here. Are you the Messiah we've been expecting, or should we keep looking for someone else? What is going on? John the Baptist, a few chapters earlier, is like, this is the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world. This is the Messiah. He's in prison, and now he's like, hey, I'm gonna send a couple of disciples. We got a question for this guy. Are you really the Messiah? Why? Because he's still in prison. Isn't there a part maybe of you and I that over the last 2 weeks were like, Lord, if we could be honest, isn't there a part of us that's like, Lord, are you the healer? Like, do you still heal today? We have dispensationalists that, you know, it's maybe that season's over and God doesn't heal. And then there's another side of you that goes, wait a minute, I've seen healings. I prayed for people and they've been healed. Like, what do we do with all this? And I would say that that is partly us being in that prison of going, okay, what do we do? I'm someplace I did not expect to be. I'm in a situation I thought I would never be in, or like, this is just so confusing to me. And I want to say, I'm bringing this because I think in our charismatic evangelistic realm that we have to be careful not to shy away and push away some realities sometimes. And I was listening, I love all the songs that we sing, but I felt like if you were a believer in this moment and you were listening, I thought, man, some of these songs seems like everybody always gets their miracle. And how many know that doesn't always happen? And there's this tension that begins to build because you're like, what do I do with this? Let me give you another tension moment. Maybe you've never thought of this, but the apostles, they knew way better than we do the Old Testament. They would have known the Psalms. They would have sung the Psalms. So when we go, hey, let's declare Psalm 91, they would have known Psalm 91, right? Turn with me to Psalm 91. We're going to go back to Luke 7, but I know you guys are using the Bible app, so it's really easy. So Psalm 91, let's read it. I got to actually find it, so they thought that was funny. Psalm 91 says this. We know it. We've studied it. We've actually declared it. We declared it over COVID, and I think we should declare it. Absolutely. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, and him I will trust. Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your right side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. And it goes on. The apostles were martyred. And in our day and age, we would think, Jesus, have you not come through? And somehow I'm just beginning to realize that they looked at death a lot differently than we did. Now, I'm not saying that, because we know stories. You know, you're sharing one the other day that somebody, you know, in Jerusalem, they went to bed with the confidence of going, well, I'm covered under Psalm 91. Because, you know, bombs, that was the day all the bombs were headed towards Israel. And so I think maybe part of it, what I'm trying to say is we have to learn to go, we are covered. We are covered by Jesus and by the blood of Jesus. And if he were to take me home, I wake up in glory. And maybe in our North American church, we're not saying that part as much. We're just really focused on this side because it's to live is to gain, but to die. Am I saying that right? To live is to gain, but die is to glory. Yes, I knew you guys were smart enough to remember it. And what I'm trying to say is sometimes we could set ourselves up that I used to do this. God's coming, everything, nothing's ever going to go wrong again. And then you start living life and you're like, wait a minute. And the thing is, breakthrough in this moment, and he walks you through this moment. You're like, but I wanted breakthrough for this moment. You gave it to me over here. I want breakthrough over here. And he's like, no, you're going to have to walk through this one. And then another breakthrough, and you're like, oh, I love this breakthrough. Just let's spread it over my entire life. So we need to try to balance, and this is exactly what is happening if we go back to Luke. Luke is facing this very thing, because it's in Luke. John the Baptist is facing this very thing, where John is like, my cousin is the Messiah who came to set the captives free, but I am in prison, not being set free. So is he really the Messiah? And in some part of our week, maybe, I don't think anybody questioned whether he was the Savior, but maybe we question whether he's the healer. So he says to say to them, are you the Messiah we've been expecting, or should we keep looking for someone else? John's two disciples found Jesus and said to him, John the Baptist sent us to ask, are you the Messiah we've been expecting, or should we keep looking for someone else? At that very time, Jesus, so it's basically like they ask the question, he's like, hold on, let me answer that. And he goes, Jesus cured many people of their diseases, illness, and evil spirits, and he restored sight to many who were blind. Then he told the disciples, go back to John and tell him what you have seen and heard. The blind will see, the lame will walk, those with leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor. He didn't add the captives at that moment, did you notice? And yet he came to set captives free. But I don't have any story in the Bible where he walked into the prisons and got everybody out, which is interesting, right? Because obviously there's other types of captivity that we carry. Not to say that he didn't, we have the heavenly man who, and Peter, Paul and Silas, we have stories of people that walked out of prison. the heavenly man was in China, right? Was it China? And the story of that man of opening doors and walking through, it's incredible. But we have stories of people that didn't have that happen. Therefore, there is this tension in the kingdom. But here's the gist of it. Look it. This is the last thing he added. God blesses those who do not fall away because of me. It's an interesting line. I want to say that to all of us, young adults especially. I know you are grieving and struggling, and I get it. But the challenge, just like in this moment, he is trying to tell them, go tell John, don't fall away because of this situation. It's confusing. You don't know why you haven't been set free. I get it. He actually loses his head. He gets his head cut off. It's a little even more confusing for him. But he's saying to them, don't fall away because you don't understand the situation. And I don't know if John ever went, oh, now I understand that. I don't think John had ever made sense, but he's like, don't fall because you don't understand. And that's the tension that we carry. Because what we could do, you know, the sides of the equation are, we just stop praying for people because somebody didn't get healed. And if Zach could shout from heaven, he would say, what are you doing? He would say, pray for people to get healed. The other side of the equation is, well, we're going to deny that nobody ever gets healed or doesn't get healed. Like, it must be their fault if they don't get healed. It must be something else. Like, it's not us. It's not, you know, they really should have been. That's wrong too. And that's where Christians can get to. And then people don't even want to come in to get healed because they're offended. So our position has to be in the tension of going, listen, we are going to pray. We know the kingdom is here. We know the kingdom is here. I think a day will come, and the day is already here, where more miracles have happened because more people have been equipped to pray. Gosh, I hope we get to the day and we get more keys and revelation, and we're like, ooh, that's a new, I didn't understand that. I hope we get closer and closer and closer, because we know keys and revelations have come that have helped people to pray for things. Like, for example, it wasn't until the last probably 20, 30 years that books have been written, even in the Christian realm, where they began to realize that you can have toxic emotions. And it's funny because the Bible talks about that all the time, but even the secular world began to pick up to go, oh my goodness, your emotions can cause this. And it's funny that a lot of our emotions can come from unforgiveness. And a lot of the unforgiveness can cause sickness. So if you can get healed and find what's blocking, you can get healing. What a phenomenal revelation, right? You guys following me? And we want to see more of that. I've never seen anybody raised from the dead. I would like to. Not yet. So I really want to just go back to that line. God blesses those who do not fall away because of me. And it's that choice that we're left with to go, Lord, we want to make that decision as a church. Because we're feeling it. I know the next time that somebody comes in, I'm going to have to make that choice. If they say, I have cancer, I need prayer, I will have to take that moment and go, Lord, what do I do right now? And because we pray corporately as a church, you're going to have to make that decision. What do I do right now? And I want you to hear those words. Don't fall away because you don't understand what God's doing. Now, do I think God did all that? No, I think there's a war going on. We are in a fallen world, and there's wars, and there's spiritual things taking place that we don't understand. I don't get it all. But here's the thing I really want you to know. You want some good news? Yes, please. Here's the good news. I already know of several testimonies that have come from Zach's passing. I can't share yet. They're still being worked out. Some of them I may not be. But I know of already two or three that I'm like, look what God's doing. Look what God's doing. Bill Johnson said it this way, and I loved it. He said, sometimes God is so good at taking a mess and turning it around and making a miracle out of it that you almost think that he was the author of the mess. But he wasn't the author. He's just the one that comes around and makes it, fixes it and makes it whole and redeems it. And so already, you know, we got a chance. I opened the window at the funeral to pray with people. And I know my mom prayed for someone. I prayed for someone. I'm not sure if anybody else, but I'm like, there's two people we got to pray for. And I know people have been texting me about watching and people being touched by it. And I'm like, Lord, you're using it for good. I don't like how it ended, but you're still going to flip it and use it for good somehow. Amen. So I want to challenge us as a church. One last scripture, if you can turn there. This is, again, something I found myself gleaning a lot from Bill Johnson. I wasn't looking for it, just different things were coming back to me. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. I'm not a fan of this scripture, and I'll tell you why after I read it. It's truth, though. I don't like it, but it's truth. Philippians 4, 6 to 7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Bill Johnson said this, sometimes to get that peace that passes all understanding, and we have to give up the right to understand. I'm like, I don't like that. My logical mind wants to understand. And when I was going through some tough times, my counselor that I talked to, beautiful, spirit-filled, awesome lady, she kept going, Jay, you want to understand. And you don't always get the right to understand. And I'm like, I don't like you or that right now. She had a very similar situation. A dear friend of hers got brain cancer and passed away. And she said, she struggled for weeks upon weeks with that. And one day the Lord spoke that scripture to her as well. You're not going to understand. And if you want the peace that you're looking for, you're going to have to give up the right to understand. And she said, as soon as I did that, it brought that peace to my life. Because we know that person is in glory. I don't like that finale. I don't like the end of that story, but we do know that they're in glory. And Thessalonians talks about that is our anchor. That is our hope. We don't grieve like other people grieve because we got the hope knowing where they're at. One day we're going to be high-fiving him. Like, we should be like, yeah, I know it's terrible. I hate that Mireille has to walk through this and friends. But the truth is that in a very short time, when you look at history and eternity, we will be rejoicing with him in heaven. Amen. Right? That is the truth that we have to hold on to. And while we're here, we're going to keep preaching the gospel. We're going to keep going after healing. We're going to keep until we have breakthrough and more breakthrough, right? And in the midst of breakthrough, we're going to have loss and we're going to have to go, okay, Lord, you're still the healer. I will not be offended. I will choose not to be offended by you when I don't understand what's going on. So we just go back to worshiping you. I know that sounds like an easy answer and there's a lot of nuances to that, but the reality is, he is saying to us, because he woke me up with that scripture saying, don't be offended when you don't understand. But I want to understand. Don't be offended when you don't understand. So Josh is the leader of the young adults, and Ange, and the leaders, Daniel and Beck. I know right now it's hard. And there's that season. But I want you guys, I encourage you guys to be like, we will not stop praying for people. We will not stop praying for people. And may something come up inside of you. And I say this because I wrestled, in all honesty. I texted Pastor Claude that day. I'm like, I am struggling. This is when he was coming home from Mexico. I had to get up and preach. I'm like, no, I didn't. You were preaching, but I was feeling the weight of it. And sometimes we just need to go, hey, we're struggling. I need prayer. Anybody else go through that this week? Please pray for me. Like, pray. Hey, pray for me. You do that with each other until we come through. So we're not going to give up, Josh. Amen. Whew, communion. It's a good time to take it. Can I have one if somebody can find one? Thank you. We just throw communion around here. You need one? Got it. Church, in the end, this is the final answer. Because without the death and resurrection, we were all doomed and destined to hell. And he came to give us eternity. And so there has to be this building of, no matter what happens, I'm still with Jesus. If I live, I'm with Jesus. And I get to tell people about Jesus and love people. If I die, I get to be with Jesus. Now, none of us want to see people pass, but we have to hold on to that truth. Amen. And so we're going to take communion today going, Lord, I thank you that your body, your blood broken for us made a way. There was no way. Perfection was impossible. Following the law completely was impossible, but he made a way called the new covenant that he was broken for us. So Lord, as we take this, the body, we thank you that your body was broken, that you could introduce a brand new covenant that was not based on our actions, but our receiving of you as Lord and Savior. Lord, we thank you for that. And I pray, Lord, for all of us that are struggling, that there would be a strengthening as we take your body. In Jesus' name, amen. And Lord, we thank you for the blood that was shed for our sins. Lord, we thank you that you died on the cross, not for us just, but as us. You died that to do what we couldn't do. And Lord, I pray that that would go deeper and deeper, and we would just rejoice in the fact that you didn't cover our sins, you obliterated our sins. How great is our God. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.